By early 1971, Peter Brook's dream at Stratford was being talked of as a theatrical landmark, famously by Bernard Levin of The Times.
The greatest experience I've ever had in a theatre in my life, I would say it was Peter Brook's Midsummer Night's Dream. But quite apart from that, what was so marvellous about it was that it seemed to me to be exactly what Shakespeare meant. I am convinced that if Shakespeare could have seen that production, he would have stood up and cheered at the end.
How now, spirit? Whither wander you?
Over hill, over dale,
over
bush,
over briar,
over park,
over hill, over flood,
fire, wander everywhere.
Speak thou now!
Speak!
Tradition in the European theatre of what Max Reinhardt done, building on a German stage, a complete forest with real trees and real rabbits. So that this white box started from the sense of elimination. What is the purest version of elimination? White.
But Sally, you, perhaps alone of people sitting around the table, had to have maybe a concept of the look of the thing that didn't necessarily evolve, or did it?
It never stopped evolving. All we did at the beginning, Peter and me, is that we committed ourselves to this empty box so that the design was being improvised and developed in exactly the same way that the actors work.
Lysander, help me! Do thy best to pluck this crawling...
Jacobs wanted to represent the forest with coils of fuse wire attached to fishing rods, lowered onto the stage by fairies known to Brook as his audiovisuals.
What a dream was here!
The actors were given flexible tubes known as freakers, which they whirled round their heads to make an eerie sound. Peter Fiddick, writing for The Guardian.
The soundtrack was something else again. There was Indian-based music, bongos. It was the most raven voice this side of the Isle of Wight, because, of course, that was the moment at which the Isle of Wight pop festival was going on, with rock at its most raucous.
Barry Stanton, did you feel that your performance was a little bit different every night? And did you ever suffer from what Sarah calls stage fright? Because it was such an experience.
Certainly not in the dream, no. No, not at all. The mechanicals have less responsibility in the dream. They are the...
You're there to make people laugh.
Yeah, they're sort of to make people laugh and represent that wonderful line, these hard-handed men of Athens. And that's what... They're workers. They're not incredible goddesses dressed up in... They're just ordinary workers. And they've been chosen to perform before the Duke. You, Peter, which was, I thought, brilliant, in the rehearsal room, another rehearsal room, with a tiny little anteroom with a sink and a loo, pushed us in there, and there were some costumes in there, and you said, you're going to perform the play today before the Duke. Make yourselves look as good as you can. Comb your hair, put on the clothes, the nice clothes. For 2 hours, and I do not exaggerate, we were in that room, and we weren't allowed out, and we didn't know what was going on. And then we were led through into the big room, and it was one of the most extraordinary things I've ever experienced. The entire room was dark apart from candles. And there were these people sitting around in these extraordinary costumes worth billions and billions of drachmas, it would have been in those days. The nervousness of that group, and I really genuinely, honestly felt, not an actor, but I was there doing it in front of those extraordinary people. Those two worlds had somehow come together. I'll never forget that.
Ben Kingsley, after this... The famous disastrous first preview night and then the hugely successful first night. Can you remember that your feelings of whatever it was, relief, exhaustion, pleasure at that moment after the first proper performance?
I think memory is a device whereby we recall something that no longer exists, but it's in my DNA. It's very hard to translate this into logical language, but it's not a memory for me. It's actually... formed, shaped the molecules of my body and my life. Honestly, in the garden yesterday, I dug up some thyme that was ailing in the herb garden, and I put it down the bottom of the garden near a stream, and I was saying to myself and my gardener, Darren, who's a wonderful guy, I know a bank where the wild thyme grows and I'm going to plant some. It's constantly running through my head.
I'm sure lots of people say they never read the critics, but surely not for this production. Can you remember your reaction when you saw how pleased they
were? Well, after we saw the Clive Barnes...
This was the New York Times.
The New York Times, unequivocally the best Shakespeare production ever. I mean, there was no need to read anything else. It was astonishing. I knew then that I was... I'm not just saying this because Peter's here, but I knew then I was spoiled.
Oh, I think we knew really after that first night in Stratford that we were involved in something uniquely special. It was extraordinary. I mean, people were flying in. It was just, wasn't it? It was the headiest thing. And I think it was that headiness, actually, that was that made it most difficult to kind of hold on to.
But never, ever did it lose its freshness, its excitement, its spontaneity. We were always custodian of that secret that was translated whilst we were acting. Sitting here, you can tell, you can feel in the room that it's so alive in all of us as the golden door of our experience.
Barry Stanton, you were the only person, I think, around the table who was with this production of The Dream throughout.
Beginning to end.
And you will, therefore, have some thoughts on how different audiences reacted.
It made the player live more. When you were playing, like, Bulgaria, Poland, where they tore down the doors of the theatre because only card-carrying members were allowed to buy tickets, so the students tore off the front doors of the theatre. We couldn't take the play up because there was 1,000 people too many in the auditorium because we pulled them all in through the dressing room windows on ropes. Yes, things like that. So that all that did was add to the play. I always thought The Dream was a soppy, silly play until I did it with Pete, and it's not. It's not at all. It's an extraordinary play.
Is it true that there is no complete record of your production of Midsummer Night's Dream?
I'm very happy to think that there isn't anything, because what everyone here today has been witnessing and what you've brought us together to do in speaking about this is the way that something must live through the experience of those who have lived it, and that's the same for the audience. Those are the real recordings of the production, and there must be a time, as Francis felt about even the playing of it on the stage, a time when one says, that is enough, it's over to the next generation. We can only help you and give you courage and hope by saying, yes, if it once was possible in one way, of course it's possible in another.